sit back. Yeah. The mother boys don't know how to act. Yeah. I think it's special what's behind your back. Yeah. Some turn around. We
kick off hour number three of the program, Thursday edition. Game Day Edition, Pro Day Edition, Major League Baseball Opening Day Edition. Final Four this weekend, too. The Masters next week. The Masters. Hello, friends. You getting excited about, you know, FAU and San Diego State?
Pumped.
Did we get the most boring four Cinderellas? Like, none of these guys are any fun.
I think Miami's pretty fun, and UConn's really
a power team. UConn, yeah, okay. Florida Atlantic, San Diego State. Are they the most boring Cinderella teams we've had in a while? I feel like George Mason was fun.
Well, I think what I think makes it weird is because there were so many upsets early.
Uh huh.
I don't know that either of them have that true Cinderella feel.
San Diego State beat Alabama.
Yeah,
but I think you watch the game, you're like, yeah, San Diego State's better than Alabama. Is that the reason?
That and I think everyone was rooting so hard against Alabama that it's like, oh, finally. It's not like, what a crazy upset. It's like, good, finally, somebody did it. Does that make sense? And then FAU.
But do you think if it was Kansas, Purdue, Miami, and Princeton, then everybody would be like, Princeton? But because it's four teams that aren't.
They've all just taken the spotlight from each other. It's kind of watered down.
With San Diego State, it's hard to really call a team a Cinderella that's went 30-2, 23-5, 23-9, 31-6,
mm-hmm.
spent a lot of time ranked in the top 15, even the top 10, and then they go on this run. Like, it's kind of hard to really call them a Cinderella. I mean, they were going to be a one or a two seed during the COVID season. Like FAU. I mean, that was a top 20 basketball team for most of the season, so.
That's true.
I mean, they were ranked higher in the net ranking than Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, TCU, Northwestern. So, this doesn't have the same feel to it. Like, St. Peter's last year, like, that was, like, every game you would watch them play in the tournament, you just go into it thinking, well, this is where their run ends. It's St. Peter's. You know, they caught mm-hmm. lightning in a bottle. It's over. I actually kind of feel like there's a good chance that FAU might be playing in the national championship. Unfortunately, they're playing San Diego State, so you have the two Cinderellas really on one side.
Yeah, that also probably doesn't help, is like they're playing each other, the two real Cinderellas. I mean, if it was Kansas, Purdue, and even UConn, and then Miami, it's like, wow, Miami, out of nowhere. But again, they're getting no credit because the other two.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other two aren't getting as much credit because of the other one. And then there's UConn, who everyone's like, yeah, they've been pretty good at times, really good at times, but okay. I mean, who, real quick, without looking at anything, who's the biggest star in the Final Four? Star player.
Star player, maybe Wong from Miami. Okay. Maybe.
I was going to say him or Pac, right? But it's not like they've been, you know, lights out all year.
Most people aren't going to name anybody in the Final Four. Not
right.
One player.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Could you make the case it's John L. Davis right now?
I mean, because we've heard of him and we know how good he can
that's
be.
That's just because we played him, though.
Right, yeah.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
There's just
the big guy from UConn's playing insane. What's his name?
Sonogo.
You look at Iowa, right? This is a bad comparison because she's the Naismith Player of the Year, but they have Caitlin Clark. So it's like, wow, all right, must-see TV. None of these teams are really must-see TV,
right.
And they don't have a player that's must-see TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with just, I mean, I guess we were kind of like that in a way, but like a lot of these teams, even the good teams that lost, had at least one guy where, oh yeah, everybody's heard of Brandon Miller. Everybody's heard of Zach Edey. Everybody's heard of, you know, Grady Dick. All these teams that had a guy or a couple guys, and now it's just kind of like, who's who?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Kansas State had, obviously they had Keontae Johnson.
But then
they had
Noel,
yeah.
I mean, like, Noel's been that good all year.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, he really just burst onto the scene the last couple games in the tournament.
And it's, like.
Like, even Sonogo for UConn, like, when you look at stats for all teams in the Final Four, he's probably got the best stat line. He averages like 18-8 a game.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, do people really, like, want to tune in just to see a physical big dominate in the paint, really?
Not anymore, I wouldn't think. Like, which fan base travels the best? Will it be UConn?
UConn or Miami?
I mean, I would think it has to be. I mean, those are the two biggest. But the, like, Miami fans aren't exactly known for loving basketball. UConn fans are.
Yeah.
But
how many are there? You know, I mean, like,
but it's, yeah, it's still not a huge fan base.
Yeah.
They're a loyal fan base, but they're not huge.
No, percentage of population, it'll probably be FAU. Like, if you're an FAU fan, you're probably going to try and go to the Final Four, I guess.
Yeah, that's, I mean, San Diego State too. Like, if you're a diehard, but that's what somebody was saying this the other day. I can't remember where I heard this. A lot of people who live in Boca Raton probably don't even know that FAU's there.
No.
They're only there, you know, in the summertime when all the kids are gone and they don't even have to worry about it being a college town.
If you're an FAU fan, it's because you went to FAU.
Right, right. Or you've lived in Boca forever and you're like, yeah, that's my local school. But it's Boca, so there's not a ton of that. It's a lot of
vacation homes.
It's a lot of rentals and a lot of we're going to block off 3 months in the summer where we're going to be there.
Well, and the venue's so huge. I mean, if every person that's ever thought about FAU goes, like, that's still just, you know, 10% of the, you know, 15% of the arena. It's not 25%. You know, it's not
right,
even close.
Right, right.
And the same thing. I mean, it's. I don't know. It'll be chalk one up for the people that said this year's been different in college basketball, because the tournament sure has played out that way.
Any early picks right now? Like, you guys leaning towards a potential?
I think
favorite,
San Diego State's just really damn good. And I mean, I wouldn't be.
I think if UConn plays to their level of capability, they'll win the whole thing.
I think. I mean,
but I could absolutely see Miami beating them. They're really good on defense, and they can hit a lot of tough shots. They hit a lot of tough shots
to
get to the finals
as well.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't like tough threes. They were hitting fadeaway mid range stuff to climb back, and they were down 10 with what, like 4 minutes to go. I think it got up to more than that at one point, but
they only hit two threes, and that was
they hit two threes all game and a lot of mid-range stuff.
I got UConn against San Diego State in a pretty defensive game,
which honestly
fairly close.
If you're just going for like quality of a game that people are going to like, that's probably your best bet.
I would think so.
Miami FAU though, with the way those two teams play, might be pretty fun, but like at the same time though, like it's just FAU. Like
there's just not a lot of brand power in
cool
that
till
game.
It happens, and then you're like, okay,
yeah,
like, wish we had UCLA,
right? It's like congrats,
Gonzaga.
Would people feel like that if Tennessee ever makes a Final Four? Would they be like, oh, like if this year's team had made it, would people be like, oh yeah, but they're fun to watch with that Vescovy kid? I don't think they would.
No, I think we'd be like a UConn or Miami, right? Kind of in between those two teams.
I think we would have traveled better than any of these four.
Oh, 100%. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's half the place would be orange.
That's why this would have been such a cool year to make it, because people would have turned on the Final Four and been like, what the hell is going on? How are all these Tennessee fans taking over this arena?
That in it would just be the easiest one to ever make.
Well, yeah, that's why it's like, man. Well, and it's like Tennessee would have traveled the best out of this four, and that's what I'm saying, because of who the other three would have been.
Mm-hmm.
If it was like Duke, Kentucky,
Kansas,
and then we got in there. It's like, it's going to be.
It'd be 25-25-25-25. Half the state of Kansas would be there.
You don't think Kentucky would travel to a Final Four?
No, I think they would, but I mean.
I think it'd be.
They have it in what? Where are they having the Final Four?
Houston.
Okay, but like, so it's going to. I mean, the venue's going to hold
70,000.
70,000, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think we would not have gotten 25%, I don't think. Not with those three fan bases. It wouldn't have been embarrassing, but we would have stood out at least, you know,
mm-hmm.
against three blue teams. Oh, well. Maybe next year. We'll get them next year.
We're going to have our best team ever, and it's going to be like there's three, you know, legendary teams, whatever.
Yeah, we'll come in as a two seed, have our best team ever, and it'll be like, Duke's best team ever, North Carolina. Yeah, just the way it's.
You guys see who's who might there's some mutual interest with to get Caleb Love maybe.
better talk to him.
Apparently, not with us, not with us. It's with Indiana. I worded that really weird, but
yeah, you did.
Apparently, Indiana and Caleb Love might have some mutual interest there.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
One destination in the portal, though, that might be fun to keep an eye on is be interesting to see what Chris Beard can throw together at Ole Miss.
I've always said the hardest thing about Ole Miss is getting players, so we'll see if he can get players.
Yeah. I mean, in this day and age of basketball, like a coach with a name,
yeah,
he's going to get some guys.
I mean, that'll be the biggest name they've ever had, easily. Not that he has, you know, a super long history, but he's been to a Final Four.
Man.
I mean, not just a Final Four, a Natty.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can flash that ring around.
We'll come back with more.
He didn't get a ring.
What?
He said he can flash that ring around.
The Final Four ring.
No, I thought you were talking about a national championship ring.
Never mind, Hickman.
You win the regional. You cut the nets down. You do the whole thing.
Yeah, you get a ring for that. Then you probably get a ring for advancing to the title game.
We just
these
celebrate
days.
Winning anything now.
Tax Slayer Bowl champions.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Does your business need storage space? Do you need someone to safely deliver your product to you or your customers? With almost 40 years in the industry, East 10 Warehouse and Distribution is the preferred source for third-party logistics. Our solutions include warehousing, inventory management, order fulfillment, pick-and-pack services, and cross-dock services. Contact East 10 Warehouse and Distribution at 865-521-6143 or visit them online at east10warehouse.com.
For all your heating and air needs, call the folks who do the right repair the right way the first time. Blue Water Climate Control, East Tennessee's locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated, all Vol heating and air professionals. To schedule service today, call 865-299-2290. That's 865-299-2290 and tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. You can also go online to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Blue Water Climate Control.
Get ready for a whole new wave of White Claw. Introducing the all-new, full-flavor White Claw Surf. Available in a variety 12-pack with a collision of flavors like exotic citrus yuzu, juicy tropical pomelo, ripe wildberry acai, and refreshing watermelon lime. White Claw Surf brings sensational refreshment for a taste like no other. Try all-new White Claw Surf today. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. White Claw Seltzer Works, Chicago, Illinois.
Looking for a great spot to watch the big game with friends and family? Check out Big Orange Phillies, 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. The perfect place for a quick lunch or burgers and beers with friends after work. Plus, if you're looking for fun to go along with the food and beverage, Big Orange Phillies has all your favorite bar games, including pool, darts, karaoke, and live music on the weekends. Check out their menu as well as a full calendar of all their events online at BigOrangePhillies.com. Matlock Tire, East Tennessee's number one tire service and auto repair shop since 1953. Matlock means...
Hour 3 continues. Last call for phone calls, 865-546-8200 is the number to join the program. Up next, we have Roberto on the horn. What's up, Berto? You're on 3 and Out.
Long time no talk, you gents. Hope you guys had a great week so far.
Yo.
You sound a little under the weather, Berto. You all right, buddy?
I've been in the Rockies for the last 4 or 5 days, so I caught a little of the negative 25 degree cold out there, as it were, the top of the mountain. It was just really cold, so I'm a little chesty. I thought it was kind of sexy, honestly, Nate. But thanks for shooting down my ego a little bit.
As long as you didn't run into Gwyneth Paltrow out there,
dude. All kidding aside, the entire way up the mountains, and the entire way down, there are, it's, you know, like wreck attorneys, like ambulance chasers, they have them for ski slopes now.
Nice.
There's advertisements everywhere.
Injured on the slopes? Called Mr. Snopes.
No, literally, it's like, hit on the slopes, you know who to call. You know, and it, for real, I'm not kidding. It's crazy. Anyway.
Love it.
You guys were talking about transfers. I mean, it's pretty obvious Tennessee needs to alleviate their point guard issues. But I heard the guy from North Carolina is just it's Caleb Love. I heard he's an absolute just pain in the ass to his teammates and his coaches. Is
yeah,
that true?
I've heard that. I've heard that too.
Yeah, locker room cancer.
And if that's the case, that would be a pretty quick look from Barnes and Company. They wouldn't probably want to bring that in, I would imagine.
Yeah, and those coaches talk, man. Most of them believe each other. So, I don't know. I mean, there really isn't an elite point guard transfer out there besides that guy, though. There's not even good ones.
Really?
I mean, I've looked a lot, but
yeah.
You know, do you agree?
I haven't. I wasn't disagreeing. I'm just asking. I haven't seen any either.
Maybe you catch a flyer on one of these lower, you know. Yuri Collins would be perfect, but I guess he's going to go to the draft this year officially, right?
We've done so well in those low-level,
right.
transfers. Feels like we always pick the wrong dudes.
We haven't done well on any transfers.
Yeah.
Who's the best transfer we've ever gotten?
James Your Daniel. And like that kid went from scoring 28 a game at Howard to coming here and scoring 6 off the bench. But, I mean, he did hit some big threes, I guess, in his short time here.
Did you say James Howard?
No, James Daniel, who played at Howard.
James Daniel played at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Daniel the third.
James Daniel the third, you know, three-point shooter, little guard. That's how good we've been in the transfer portal.
You guys know I'm a sheep. I can't remember that guy for the life of me. I would honestly say Euros is our best transfer.
He's played the most minutes, I guess.
I mean, that Rick Barnes. It would be so nice if he decided to retire this year.
Mm.
I think the game itself. Everybody's like, "Oh, he's brought on all these NBA guys and all this." I understand that he's brought in all these NBA guys, and I understand all that stuff. And I'm glad he's done it. I'm glad he's trying to adapt his offense to the game. But the thing is, at the end of the day, he's defense first. And that's not going to work in college basketball anymore.
Not anymore.
It's just not.
It's like football. You can still have a good defense, but you better be able to score.
Yeah, and we can't. That's the problem. But moving forward into the other part, I mean – there's just not a good point guard out there. I mean, we might get lucky. Maybe Noel, maybe the little guy at Kansas State gets bored out there and he wants to transfer. I think he's got another year. That'd be because he's not going to play in the NBA. I don't know. Is Vesco going to come back?
I doubt it.
He's the only loss of that senior that I'm starting to worry about. I've really gone over it and over and over it. Of all those guys, I think he's the only. And then I was like, oh, please stay. Everything else, I think, at this point is addition by subtraction.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these guys, they've just run their course, you know? Like, mm-hmm. This is as good as this team was going to get with these guys.
Yep.
And even if they play great, like they did against Duke,
the next game they're not.
Yeah.
And you're gonna.
I mean, you ever pick up a sport or maybe come back to a sport? Well, let's say golf. That's an easy one.
Golf.
Where you start feeling like, man, I'm getting better. Every time I play, I'm getting better. Every time I play, I'm getting better. I'm going to be a really good golfer. I think I might start playing in some tournaments and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you max out how much you can play in practice.
Yeah.
And now you go out and instead of getting any better, you're just kind of plus or minus where you are. And you realize that, oh, nope, this is probably as good as I can get with the amount of, like, with my body and the amount of practice and play that I can put mm-hmm. in. I've plateaued, and yeah, I might shoot three shots better than my average, but I might shoot five shots worse than my average, and I never know which day that is. That's how this basketball team feels. Like, it's not like these guys coming back again is going to be a better player.
Yeah, it's not like we're going to go up from averaging 65 to 85, and, you know, Josiah James, instead of scoring 3, then 20, then 7, then 15, is going to be a standard, you know, 17, 18 a night guy. It's just not going to happen.
Yep. Well, the last two things is simply this. I think that the reason I you know, at the end of the year here, I've started saying I just really don't like this team. It's not the people. It's not the culture. It's not the attitude. Though there was some attitude behind the scenes that I found out about in the last couple of weeks that is just pervasive. And it was the seniors down, except for Vesco. It was the seniors down. They were all pretty negative. They were all like, we're going to win or we're going to lose. We don't care. You know, and it's the inconsistency. The inconsistency is what drove me crazy. They were inconsistent. They were tough guys one day, and then they would get, you know, roughhoused by FAU on the boards. You know, you can't act like tough guys and get beat by a team like FAU on the boards, who you average 3 inches on at every position except for center. And then last point, guys, and this is more of just a question. UConn's going to win the national title, I think. I think everybody thinks that. Could FAU sneak in there and get somebody? Could they win it all? Could we have lost to the eventual national champions? And it's not like, oh, you know, theoretically. Like, they're really good. And Kim Palm is proof that they're really good because that guy is accurate, 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 and he's had them in the top 25 all year. And they were so underrated. I cannot believe they were a 9 seed. It's actually a slap in their face. And the damnedest thing is all, we were talking about it last night on the Spaces, they're not going to lose their coach because there's no major jobs to take him. And their entire team is coming back. They're going to be in the top 10 next year. See you guys.
I didn't realize their whole team was returning. I did wonder if he'd get a look, but to Roberto's point, at least right now, there's not really an open spot. And he has been pretty – he's been right around or above 500 in his first 3 years, but obviously this year he hit the jackpot.
Well,
I wouldn't rule him out. If someone doesn't match their intensity on the glass, the way they rebound the ball, they've got a chance in every game, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been proven anything could happen in this Final Four. I don't see them beating San Diego State if both teams play kind of a similar level for them, because San Diego State has so many just – men. I mean, they have dudes that can rebound, block out, play defense. I think Florida Atlantic will have trouble, will actually have trouble scoring. But, I mean, who knows? You never know how these teams are going to shoot the ball also. That can go along. When San Diego State doesn't make shots, they kind of can turn into a Tennessee a little bit. When they do make shots, they're insanely good. And then I think UConn is just way better than these teams when they're playing at their best. But they've had those slip-ups during the year, which is why they weren't a 1 or 2
mm-hmm.
seed.
Yeah.
And so does it happen this weekend or not? You know, Miami might be the hottest team coming in. I mean, they've had some great wins in the tournament.
They have.
And when they hit shots, they can beat anybody, too. It's pretty wide open. According to KenPom, the numbers right now, and, of course, these take into account all the games that these teams have won. UConn is the best team per KenPom at the moment for the entire season now. San Diego State is 14th, Florida Atlantic 17th, and Miami is 22nd. So there you go. Tennessee had, and I would assume, is going to stay here. I don't think San Diego State, if they win, would move up. But Tennessee finished 6th on the season in the KenPom adjusted efficiency metric. So
6th nationally, huh?
6th nationally, yeah.
Just like football.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll come right back. We'll get to, I know we got some more callers. We'll get right to you guys next. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back to Fan Run Radio, 3 and Out, game day edition of the program. Right back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines we go. Up first this segment, we have Westchester. What's up, Westchester? You're on Three and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen. I figured I'd better go ahead and call on Thursday while y'all are still here.
Yep, probably won't be here tomorrow.
What a shock. Mm-hmm. Guys, I got two questions. First one, because I really don't know. How many of our starters are coming back? Or who are we losing, I guess, is probably the shorter answer.
You have no guarantees right now, do you?
No, really. I mean, I'd imagine Yurosh, James, Kumwa, Vescovy.
But eligibility-wise, we're not losing any, right?
Technically, no. They all have a COVID year if they wanted it.
All right. Can you imagine? Okay, question number two. Is there any doubt, you know, in your sheepest of sheepest heads, is there any doubt that if Rick Barnes says, I'm done, I hate the transfer portal, I hate NIL, I'm done, this isn't my game anymore, I've done all I can, I'm going to ride out the sunset, and then we get a upper mid-range coach, is there any doubt that this team under a different coach is in the Elite Eight next year guaranteed?
I mean, yeah, I think there's doubt. It'd just be it would depend on the style. I mean, if you come in and try to run the same type of stuff, then I mean, but
just saying a timeout here, a timeout there, a little in-game coaching, a little less sitting. Like, you know, we all remember his first couple years here where he would just sit on the bench and just watch the game and just say, "I told them what to do. They're just not doing it.
Yep.
Not call timeouts." You know, I feel like we saw a little bit of that this year. I thought we saw that start to come back, which makes me think that he's getting tired of coaching or he's tired of this team or he just doesn't have it in him anymore. I just think with a little bit of energy, another coach, I think this team is pretty special. I mean, we don't have the hype, obviously. We don't have a point guard, but, you know, a coach that knows what the transfer portal is and knows how to pick up a phone might be able to make that happen. You never know.
Or just somebody with – because, again, these guys know how to play defense. As long as you could introduce some modern concepts offensively, I think we'd be a lot better. I don't think you'd see
us. Are we adding these players, too? Like, do we get Freddie DeLeon as, like, a combo guard that could back up at the point?
Yeah, and yeah.
Isn't Key gone? He doesn't have a COVID year, right? I think
Tyreek Key is gone. He's gone.
You add DeLeon, and if you want to add any of the other guys, you have to subtract somebody, Westchester. But
I don't know. Do you? I thought they had the COVID year, they didn't count.
You just have a ton of guys over there on the bench?
Yeah, that's – I'm not sure if that's really a good weird. Idea, but yeah.
You don't make it to the Elite Eight or further without your coach having a little fire in his belly. And I know Barnes doesn't drink whiskey, so he ain't got no fire in his belly from that or anything else. So that's all I want. I just want somebody with a little energy that wants to be there. So thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, Westchester. Yeah, you got DJ Jefferson, obviously, redshirting this year, as is DeLeon. Maybe a new coach. We might see a little bit of B.J. Edwards.
Well, there's starting to be some whispers out there on the internet that some guys might be contemplating the portal, maybe.
I don't doubt it, yeah.
I mean, I think every kid on every school is going to have – you're just going to go through that now from now on, right?
Yeah.
I mean – it's gonna be part of basketball. Like that's what
you got to recruit your guys to stay, and then you got to recruit guys in the portal to come.
Well, and like, you know, let's say if every FAU player is coming back, well, not necessarily. I mean, a lot of these guys now have.
Yeah, I got to say, I could have 1 year at
Is there NIL money or whatever?
Win the Natty, there might be.
Let's go back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got D'Arval on next. What's up, D'Ar? You're on Three and Out.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, anytime there's a dead horse, I feel the urge to beat it, so I'm going to go ahead and beat this dead horse. As far as comes transfer portal, I don't care anymore. Like, you think they're going to be any good if we get them anyway?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Nate and Roberto were saying. It's like, how good have we really been in the portal? I don't know. I'm sure they have, and I'm going to probably really get blown out of the water right here. Who has been like the best? Who was the best transfer this year in college basketball? I'm not counting Keontae Johnson because he wasn't cleared at Florida, so he had to go. But like, are any of these teams at I mean, Pack is at Miami. Is he the best transfer since he's got his team to the Final Four? Like, I don't know of one from UConn. Certainly don't know of one from San Diego State. I mean,
Baylor Shireman at Creighton was pretty impactful.
Okay.
Oh, easily. It was Marquise Noel. Easily. There you go.
Was he a transfer too? Okay. Yeah, then, yeah.
He played at Little Rock.
It's weird.
It'd be nice to find a guy that plays at Little Rock that would run our team like that.
Yeah. You see a lot in football that really do pan out.
Mm-hmm.
But then in basketball, it doesn't seem like the success rate is there.
I mean, Kendrick Davis from Memphis was a transfer. He was at SMU and then got stolen away by Memphis. Terrence Shannon. There's a couple.
Yeah.
Hodge was good at Missouri.
I'm really worried that apathy for me is just setting in because it took me forever this season to get into it because of the disappointment of the Michigan game last year. And now the transfer portal, I just don't care. Like, and I know y'all talked about it ad nauseum the show, but it's like I can't get excited about any of it. Even if freaking Bronny, after his first year, said he wanted to transfer to us, I'd be like, eh. He'll just be like the players in Space Jam when the Monstars took their secret stuff, I guess.
Jordan Miller for Miami is from George Mason. So.
And Grant Ramey, and I apologize, y'all talked about it in hour one, but he had an article about Freddie Buckets, I believe that's who it was about, and in it he was talking about how he had like a nose for scoring the ball, but and then he brought up defense. He's like, I just got to get that locked down, and that worries me. Every time we get a freaking shooter in here, Barnes is just, you know, that's his fetish, his defense. And I worry we're going to ruin yet another score with that.
Yep. It's been a problem.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, Dillion might be a great scorer, have we seen great scoring from anyone other than really Vescovy? Like, Grant to a degree, but like, that's a little different.
Kenny Chandler.
Good point.
Yeah, that's okay. But is that DeLeon's game is like top of the key, go to the rack, flare out for three? Like I don't know what his game really is. I mean, his highlight tape, yeah, he makes every shot. Okay, but I don't know how good he is.
Well, and you know that may be subjective. Is he a great scorer as far as college basketball goes, or a great scorer in Rick Barnes' eyes? Because that would scare me as well. And that's obviously, but kind of freaks me out. I don't know. We're what, less than 2 weeks? I mean, the season's not even over this year for college basketball. I'm already dreading next season.
Well, you got football in between then, so.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since we've said thank God on that one. Yeah.
But before I hop off, guys, if y'all have discussed it, just don't even address it. But did y'all see that stat about Conference USA could win every tournament in the postseason? And I'll hang up and listen.
We had not mentioned that. They're playing each other in the NIT final.
I'm going to go ahead and chalk that one up.
That's going to be their second loss in postseason play. They've already won the CBI. They're going to win the NIT. And if FAU wins the Natty, they will have won every tournament.
And then all of those schools will be plucked by bigger conferences.
They already are. Like,
yeah, I think that's
going
true.
To American and but yeah, the two teams playing the NIT. Who is it? North Texas and
UAB.
Is that right?
Wow!
Like they probably should have been in the big tournament over some of these underperforming.
Wait, who won the CBI?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Didn't really stay locked into that tournament.
I saw that yesterday. I just don't remember who. CBI tournament
was it? Rice
champions. Rice sounds right.
Do they even televise that?
I've never seen it.
Probably stream it.
It says what? It says was it Charlotte?
That sounds right too.
Nope, this is not right.
Nope, it was Rice. That sounded right.
Yeah.
I'm watching Kennedy Chandler highlights.
That's good. That's helpful.
Man.
Thank you for that, Adam.
Why does it say this is just wrong? This doesn't make any sense. Okay, it was Rice. It was Rice, Hickman.
I don't know. I saw a tweet yesterday that
you just said it was.
He's
sure.
Watching highlights.
CBI
Nate.
Winner, 2023.
Gosh.
Live. Oh my gosh, that's pretty funny. They had this tournament at Daytona
Looks
Beach.
Like it was Southern Utah.
That doesn't sound right. They're in the
It says they beat Rice college basketball, or is that just
It was Charlotte. Oh
my god. That's what I said.
He said it sounded right.
They beat Eastern
to every
Kentucky.
Team you said.
Good Lord. Yeah, this happened a week ago.
If you Google CBI, the first thing that pops up is CBI Off-Road.
Yeah.
Chevy's, Tacomas. Yeah,
yeah. All right, we're going to reset and try and come back with a really strong final segment today. I mean, it's a big day. It's game day. Got LSU.
Pro day.
Baseball, pro day.
Opening day.
Baseball, opening day. Commit watch. We got to finish strong in this Thursday edition of 3 and Out. Final segment, game day edition of the program. It's LSU, Tennessee. First pitch, 8 o'clock, ESPNU.
8 o'clock, huh?
Mm-hmm. You got a pick for this game, Chris? A no-pressure pick?
No, I don't actually. I have no idea what to expect. I haven't watched LSU. We've looked pretty good. We need our pitching to really step up. They've been, I don't say lackluster, but they haven't been as good as they could be, especially in early innings. And, I mean, this could be a game you get down 2-0, you lose it 2-1 or 2-0. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to see maybe we could – what is that? 5 starts for Skeens. He's given up 12 hits. 12.
Pretty good, you know.
Well, at least now we know why he went to LSU. He could pitch there. We needed a catcher. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to pitch.
Yeah.
So, makes sense.
He's on fire.
I see why he wanted to pitch.
Which is crazy, too.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now we know why he also wanted to pitch, because he's really good.
Really good, yeah.
It'd be nice to take this series, kind of remind everybody that we're not dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anyone should think that.
You got to think tonight's like a 3-1 game, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And then Friday it gets a little crazy, a lot more action.
I was reading a post this morning on Tiger Droppings, which is just still the weirdest name for a message board. And they said that their bullpen isn't very good. So that if we can get into their bullpen tonight, and then obviously over the weekend, that they might be in a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
So it'd be nice if we could do what we do, draw walks, battle at the plate, make them throw a bunch of pitches. And then obviously scoring runs, getting hits, those things are important too. But apparently if we can get to their bullpen, they're not as deep or as talented as we are.
Skeens has gone at least 6 innings in all his starts so far.
Yeah, if we could get him out like 4th or 5th, we'd probably be doing something pretty good.
He's had double-digit strikeouts in each of his games.
I feel like 12, the story's. 11, I feel like the story's gonna be how we pitch, because if we pitch great, we'll be in this game, and then we can get to the bullpen. If we don't pitch as well, and they're up, 4-1 before he ever leaves the game, then it's gonna be tough, right? I mean, let's keep this thing like a one-run game until we can get to their pen, the 7th, 8th, 9th inning, and,
Let Dolander get touched up early.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
You think we're gonna change our approach? You think Frank Anderson's gonna tweak the whole like? Throw strike throw. I saw a video the other day by a hitting coach. He's like, the best hitting count is 0-0. Like, it's the best hitting count. You should not be taking the first pitch as a rule. Like, if it's a strike, I want my guy swinging on the first pitch. It feels like that's what people are doing to Tennessee now, because we've
look. I'm not an expert.
Strikes.
That's just what it looks like to me for us to be getting touched up as early. It's kind of weird, because then we kind of settle into it and we're better as. You get into the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th inning. Usually it's the opposite. Usually pitchers come out in the first couple of innings and they look great, and then something clicks with the batters. But I think because we have such a propensity to throw strikes all the time, I'm with you. I think guys early in counts early, you know, at bats, they're just like, well, it's probably going to be a strike, and if I can identify the movement, like, I'm just going to swing. Mm-hmm. Just try to barrel one up and see what happens.
It's going to be a nerve-wracking game, though. I mean, just about everybody that steps up to
the plate. I'm not terrified, but I'm nervous as hell.
Like, close game when Tommy Tanks or Dylan Cruz, when they're in the batter's box, if it's a close game late, you're going to be just sitting there just like, all right. Every swing, you're going to be just kind of, you know, because they got weapons.
Looks like their other two starters aren't obviously as strong as Skeens, but yeah. they mm-hmm. get touched up a little bit.
Someone informed me earlier that whoever his name is that we were talking about, the other top five draft pick, apparently he's been hurt a little bit. So,
well, no one likes that. Trey Morgan.
That acne housing guy you mentioned, looks like might be their closer.
Okay.
Hopefully there's a little pressure on them. You know, they're the home team. They're the number one team. People expect them to win, and, you know, they get a little tight. Maybe they make an error here. And
well, yeah,
run.
Brett said it. We've won six straight against them. We're coming in definitely as the underdog. They're at home, going to be a madhouse. I'd say, yeah, there's got to be a little bit of pressure. I mean, I still think there's pressure on us just because of what happened in the Missouri series. Like, we don't want to go out there and embarrass ourselves again. But I do think there's reason for us to think we can play a little bit loose tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that this team's mindset is probably win the series. Definitely don't get swept. Sometimes you press a little bit. But I don't know. Just swing the bat, man.
Yeah.
Do what you do.
Charlotte,
I wonder if they'll walk.
Charlotte did win the CBI. It was Rice is the only team that's lost.
I knew I saw them in a tweet somewhere.
Yeah, so I had it right there with the Charlotte call. Anyway.
You got a pick? You got a winner?
No, but I was reminded that Nick Boyd isn't Nick Boyd for FAU? Isn't he a UConn transfer, I think?
That'd be kind of funny.
Maybe he's not. He's not.
It kind of worked out for everybody.
Pretty sure he's a transfer though, like from a big program. Do I have a pick? I'll say we keep it close tonight, but lose, and then we take one of the next two. But
they get the series.
Yeah, probably 1-2 on the weekend.
This one or Arkansas? You can only win one.
This one.
This one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know, that Arkansas series. It's kind of personal for Tony V.
I think they both are.
Not a single five-star in the Final Four this weekend.
But you want to beat Vandy, too, because they're rival, and yeah. Corbin's been rumored on the
that wasn't
Maui.
That wasn't the question.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Vandy won for me, then LSU.
Yeah, oh, no, it's Vandy won.
Then Arkansas, then I know Florida's a football rival, but I can put them fourth.
As long as we don't give up another home run to Caglianoni.
I'll take 2-2 in series wins out of those four right now. Just hold the line.
2-2, one sweep?
And be, sure, and be, you know... Just be in that group and get better and better and better, and then hopefully beat
2-2
those teams.
Probably keeps you in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun watch. 8 o'clock tonight, ESPNU. Keep it locked in here for more Fan Run Radio.